Welcome to Conversations with David Lewis. Today, Congressman Barney Frank. Today, continuing my conversation with longtime Massachusetts Congressman Barney Frank. In the earlier part of my interview, we talked about the origins of his career, his youth, and many other things. And now, more from Congressman Barney Frank. You know, you're in this sort of wonderful place now of being able to say whatever you want without, worrying about it. But it seems like you kind of handled yourself in Congress
mostly that way, too.
Some of your more memorable one-liners. I mean, what was the one about the swing vote? Some line about a swing vote, and your line was...
Henry Hyde was the chairman of the committee presiding over the Clinton impeachment, and he had to recognize people. And a lot of us were clamoring for recognition. So he said, all right, well, I'm going to recognize a gentleman from Georgia, probably Bob Barr. I'm going to recognize a gentleman from Georgia, and then I'll swing to Mr. Frank. Or then I'll swing over to Mr. Frank. So when I got to speak, I said, well, Mr. Chairman, I appreciate you deciding that you're going to swing my way. And he made a point of order against that. It can last with people and have an impact. I'll tell you, one of the most effective things I've ever said was when Ronald Reagan comes in office in 1980, the same year I get elected to Congress, and first of all, tries to ban abortion, but secondly, tries to cut every program that provides aid to poor children, for expectant mothers, for mothers with infants, for food stamps, for child care. And so he wants people to have the children, but then he removes any support for them. So I said, well, apparently, according to Ronald Reagan, the federal government's interest in children begins at conception, but it ends at birth. And I think that had an impact in, frankly, forcing some of the conservatives to do more for poor children.
You know, if life had turned out another way, you would have been a great, Saturday Night Live writer or, a jingle man. I mean, you know, the king of the one-liners.
Among the people who I grew up really admiring were the comedians of the 50s and 60s. They called them the Borscht Belt Circuit, the people who performed in the Catskill Mountains, which had a largely Jewish clientele. But I've always liked humor. It keeps me sane. But also, if you can say something funny, it has more impact than if it's boring.
It's a little bit self-serving, but I wanted to have you talk about the Goodrich decision and the impact that had. And Goodrich decision, listeners, was the Massachusetts case, Goodrich versus the Massachusetts Department of Public Health, that led to the first state passing of gay marriage. Did you know a lot about the case, or was it a surprise when it happened?
No, I knew it was coming. There's a superb lawyer named Mary Bonato, who is a lesbian lawyer, who was the Thurgood Marshall of the LGBT movement. In fact, it bothered me that some people in California hired a couple of very well-known white guys, straight white guys, to bring a case.
Oh, David Boyce and Ted Olson.
Ted Olson. And they were good, but Mary Bonato was the star of that, and she was there before them, and she's been there after them, and she was a better legal strategist. She's the one who came up with the notion, after that case, of challenging the Defense of Marriage Act on the grounds that it denied equal protection. But she brought that case in 2003.
In Massachusetts.
And in a brilliant decision, as you know, Chief Justice Marshall, of your acquaintance, decides it. And here's why it was important. One of the things that bothers me, that troubles me, are these vicious cycles where something bad reinforces something else bad. With regard to same-sex marriage, here was the deal. It's very relevant that they called the law to try and stop same-sex marriage at the federal level the Defense of Marriage Act. What does that mean, the Defense of Marriage? It says that if same-sex people can get married, that somehow is an assault on opposite-sex marriage. Now, that is ludicrous. Nobody thinks that. But they didn't want to come right out and say, we don't like them. One of them's bad, two of them's disgusting, so we're not going to let them do it. So here's the deal. To get the political support we needed to have same-sex marriage, we had to refute the argument that if there was same-sex marriage, it would have negative social consequences. Well, it was somewhat new and different. It's hard to refute an argument in the absence of evidence. So we were in this vicious cycle. We couldn't get the support for same-sex marriage because people thought it would have terrible consequences. We couldn't refute the argument that it had terrible consequences because we couldn't have it. So Chief Justice Marshall broke us out of that. She handed down a decision that established same-sex marriage. And from that time on, I knew we were going to win because we go forward in Massachusetts in 2004 with same-sex marriages. And pretty soon we were able to refute the notion that there was anything about them that affected anybody else.
Well, politically in Massachusetts, the way the law worked, it could have been repealed, and they actually started to try to get that, and they just didn't get anywhere because
right. And now, by the way, you're right exactly, but let me substitute "they" for the words Mitt Romney. It was Mitt Romney at his most despicably bigoted. He was governor then, and he was planning to run for the nomination in 2008. And he decided he would be the governor who killed same-sex marriage in its cradle and get all the support. So after the decision in 2003 went into effect in 2004, with the right votes in the state legislature and then a referendum, it could have been repealed. So Romney began campaigning to elect state legislators who would vote to repeal it and defeat those who voted to protect it. And we joined that fight. I spent a lot of time working. There's an excellent book by a guy named Mark Solomon about it. And we won. And the reason we won was this. If the referendum or if the legislature had voted immediately after same-sex marriage decision came down, we would have lost. Because people would have said, oh, that's a terrible thing. By the time the legislature was voting, it was 2006. There had been 2 years of experience. And by that time, we were able to say, what was it again you said was going to happen? So it was important to establish a beachhead. And then we did win it politically, but we couldn't win it politically until we had the evidence to defend.
What was that day like for you when you first heard about the Goodrich decision? I mean, what was that like on a personal level for you?
No, it was enormously positive. It wasn't the first one. Remember, to be honest, because you tend to talk about things you're involved in, I had that feeling when we got Bill Clinton to repeal the executive order that said gay people couldn't get security clearances, and when we got rid of the anti-gay provision in the immigration law. And those two, I had a major role, and a little legal comes in. But marriage, here was the deal. I was frustrated because we had this, as I said, vicious cycle. People thought marriage was terrible, and until we could get it, we couldn't prove that it wasn't terrible, but because they thought it was terrible, we couldn't get it. So I guess my initial reaction was, we're going to win this, because we now have this example that we're going to be able to show people. So it wasn't just that we had that good decision in Massachusetts. I was convinced that would mean we'd win everywhere.
Former Massachusetts Congressman Barney Frank is my guest. We are talking about his career, about his points of view, and about his new book, Frank. Well, we're at the cusp of the great test in the Supreme Court. Certainly, prognosticators think that it's going to turn out well from your point of view. Given that the Goodrich decision was, 2003, not that long ago, have you been surprised at how quickly states have come
along? Absolutely. And remember, the Goodrich decision was 4-3. It was not a slam dunk even then in one of the most liberal states. Yeah, but what's happened is, and I think it's the dynamic I talked about, as more and more states have had same-sex marriage, it has become harder and harder for its opponents to claim that there's anything negative about it. I mean, reality has
occasionally actually does.
Yeah, reality reality did bite it, bit the head off the fake arguments. I was surprised after I expected the defense of marriage decision in 2013. I was surprised when the other federal circuits so quickly said we're going to go all the way, and I agree with you. It's almost certain that there'll be a decision in June. And by the way, here's the best sign of where we are politically. I think the person who is most rooting for the United States Supreme Court to find the Constitution that same-sex marriage is a national constitutional right is Karl Rove. Because an issue that the Republicans were using as recently as 2004, after the Massachusetts decision, to beat
John Kerry in Ohio, yeah.
Now the Republicans are afraid that they're going to be torn between their right-wing base and the rest of the country, and Republicans, with the exception
of... Let alone anyone under the age of 50.
They don't, Ted Cruz will be the only one left who's against same-sex marriage.
Well, Congressman, it's been a great pleasure. I wish you extremely well with your book tour,
Thank you,
and I certainly hope you keep making trouble.
Thank you.